All right. Good evening, everybody. We will call this meeting of the Board of Directors Upper San Diego Valley Municipal Water District to order. It is around 4:30, December 6th. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, everyone. Please join me. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible.
Next up, we have roll call of the Board of Directors. Director Jimenez?
Present.
Director Chavez?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Vice President Dallas?
Present.
President Santana?
Present.
At all five directors are present. Next, we have adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. We will vote on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? That is on a 5-0. Our next item is public comment.
Good afternoon, President. We have not received any written public comments. However, if anyone would like to speak now, please go on, please.
Very much. Seeing none, we move on to committee reports. So we didn't have committees this month. However, we did have one November 7th, the Administration and Finance Committee. I have nothing to add to that. So our minutes are enclosed. Moving on to the consent calendar. Can I get a motion and a second for the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second, Trevino.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes on a 5-0. Next up, we have item 7A, purchase of untreated water for the Upper District Collection Storage Account.
So as I've reported over the months, the directors have been making every effort possible to maximize the import of water delivery into metropolitan cyclic storage. And I think we started with a goal of 125,000 acre feet. We were unable to start as early as we could. We still had stormwater being delivered to the basin. In the delivery, percolation or recharge rate was declining. So we had to reduce flows. We did have a shutdown. It was a planned shutdown in late August or early September. The county had accumulated some water behind Morris Dam, and we shut down so they could release that water. That was extended because of Hurricane Hillary dropped some extra moisture. They had to move through the system. So we started back up. We were running at 200 cubic feet per second. And as I reported, on Halloween, we did reduce flows at USG3 from 200 cubic feet per second to 25 cubic feet per second to accommodate maintenance work by the Army Corps of Engineers at Santa Fe Dam and maintenance of the Santa Fe Spreading Ground by Los Angeles County Public Works. That work is ongoing. We did get a report yesterday that it's taking them longer than they expected, and in fact, the Corps of Engineers hasn't even started the mix. Perhaps not, should have been expected, but it is disappointing. So while we can continue to run at 25 cubic feet per second through the end of the year, our new estimate for the total amount of imported water delivered this year is about 50,000 acre feet. At the end of last calendar year, there was a balance of about 24,000 acre feet in metropolitan cyclic account, so that's about 74,000 acre feet in the account. Water Master's Board last month approved the RDA purchases, some replacement water purchases, as well as some carryover money from the prior year, because the prior year the water wasn't drought. There's cyclic storage water, reverse cyclic water that was paid for last year, Met delivered that. You do all the accounting, and at the end of that, we thought there was going to be about 10,000 acre feet left in the account, and now appears to be about 7,000 acre feet left in the account. In 2 weeks, with Water Master's Admin Committee, we will be talking about, so Upper District is interested in purchasing water out of that account. That's why this is on your agenda today. But we will have a discussion with Water Master parties, because there might be some funds that Water Master has that they want to also purchase. We need to have resolution of this so we can send it to Metropolitan no later than around January 3rd. That's the next Water Master Board meeting. So the they can incorporate whatever we decide to do, the amount of water we are going to purchase in total on the invoice they will send to us on January. So that's the time frame we support. There's very good reasons, a couple of very good reasons to purchase this water. The reason we haven't done it in prior years is, frankly, Evelyn and I were planning on doing this, but we knew we had a building to purchase, a building to reconstruct, and we didn't know how much that was going to cost. Now that that's done, mostly, we realized, okay, now we know how much we spent on the building and we know how much money we have available. So we feel comfortable with a purchase of 10,000, up to 10,000 acres. But as I previously mentioned, there's not going to be 10,000 acre feet available. So what I'd ask the board to do is to authorize purchase up to 10,000 acre feet, and then we'll work with Water Master and figure out what amount is available. But it will be less than 10,000. Another reason to empty the MetPyPIC account is we need to send a message to Metropolitan that we will buy that water if they put it in the account, and they now have an empty account. But if this goes through, they will have an empty cyclic storage account, and we will let Met know you're more than welcome to fill that anytime you want, or anytime you can. So I think it's important that Met understand that in the cyclic storage agreements and purchase agreements, so we are living up to our end of the commitment, so that they will be motivated to continue to refill the cyclic storage.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or comments from board members? Is there a dollar amount for this?
Evelyn, it would be $8
million.
$8.5 million. So what we pay Metropolitan for the water is about $855. So $8.55 million. Yeah, but it was $10,000.
All right. And we are going to now be voting on the recommendation to approve.
We need a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, that passes on 5-0. Very much. Now we have item 7B, award of water education grant for fiscal year 23-24.
Patty, can you start this?
Yes.
Please.
Good evening, President and Senate Director. What you have before you in your packet is the annual distribution of our water education grant program. Every year, the board authorizes a set amount in the conservation and outreach budget. This year, we have allocated $20,000 for this program. So, back at the start of the school year, Jennifer sent out all the letters to our prospective principals and schools in our service area. We received a total of 22 grant applications, which are all detailed for you in the packet. Staff has proposed two options, which is a little different than what we've done in the past. So for the first option would be to approve all 22 grant applications for a total distribution of $19,648.17. Or option two would be to approve the funding of 21 grant applications for a total amount of $18,648.17. And the reason why there's a discrepancy, we did receive one grant application that requires your consideration. And it has to do with a teacher from Azusa High School. His program would be in partnership with the San Gabriel Valley ROT program. And what their project would do would create a documentary film that documents the journey of water from the river to the tap underground, underground treatment and all of that. It is with a high school group. Azusa High School is outside of Upper District Service Area. However, the San Gabriel Valley ROP is in Upper District Service Area. So there is that connection in that way, and then you can also look at it as our potential students in our service area could be attending Azusa High School. And I think the nature of the project itself is something that we could even utilize for our future promotion on social media. So that's why staff actually is sending the separate options to the board for your consideration and determination on how you want to do it.
Thank you. All right, do we have any questions or comments?
So if the board approves the application from the business school for educational purposes, I'd like to see that if there could be a presentation to this board to share that history and see what we can learn. And I know you mentioned about the website, but, you know, for all certification as well. So I would be interested in that as a local person.
If I can respond to that, so that's actually something that Jennifer and I talked about for this group, is that we thought that it would be really interesting to have some of those students come back and give presentations of their projects. And so that way it's full circle for the board so that you see what these allocations are actually bringing back. So we'll look at a date in the future that we could have like a special workshop where the kids can come in and meet their presentations.
And if I might add, people like Ken Manning and others, you know, there are institutional memories of what has happened in the Valley. We still have Mr. Johnson, who's a huge resource for us as well, but we need to preserve that history. So if we could learn it, and people can help too, if we can learn it, that's a better for the Valley.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that even though it's the business, not technically in our service area, that's my neighborhood, and all the kids in my neighborhood go to this side. So, you know, I think this is anybody who wants to do a documentary about water. I love that idea, and definitely San Diego Valley ROP serves quite a few schools in our area. So I think this is really great, and I can't wait to see what they come up with. Maybe Patty can.
All right, thank you very much. What is ROP? What is ROP stand for?
Regional Occupational Program. It's essentially career technical education.
Okay.
ROP.
And I didn't notice, but that the professor that is teaching this class was a former microbiologist at Orange County Water District.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that added element too that Jen and I both thought was just a really interesting component to recommend.
And so this doesn't set any kind of, there's no downstream ramifications that we have to think about at all, right? With this, that we're approving this one outside of our typical approve, and it's going to create any kind of bigger issue downstream, right?
No, I don't foresee that because it we're not changing the policy. I think by nature that we're bringing it to you for consideration of your validation to fund this program. It won't be a continuing policy that we always go outside of the service area.
And to add to that, part of the issue with the Unified School District is in our service area, including the spirit of the high school and the fact that physical location of the type will have to be outside our boundary.
Great. Well, I'm excited to, especially hearing the crisis biologist. Okay, so we will go ahead. We need a recommendation, I'm guessing.
Okay, recommendation. Option one, right?
That's a motion for option one. We have a second.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second for option one, which is the funding of 22 grant applications for water education, totaling $19,648.17. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes on 5-0. Moving on to information items, we have press releases and news articles in our fact book. We have now moving on to the attorney report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a brief report. The last meeting is with a couple of administrative matters in the district, including finalizing the audit letter that goes to the district auditor for approving annual hearing. Worked with Evelyn on some form contract templates for updating. Also worked on some opt-out language that we're going to talk about in closed session. And executed some of the documents that the board has previously approved. The ordinance over the summer on rates that came into our inclusion, as well as the recent conflict code amendments. That concludes my report. Other than that, we will have a closed session.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for coming for our attorney? Seeing none, moving on to engineers report, Steve Johnson.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. Also a pretty brief report. There's been a lot of work going on to manage water replenishment in the basin, local water, especially Santa Fe Spreading Ground. A lot of that work is coordinated by your general manager, Tom, with all of the agencies, a lot of communication going on. So, Tom, you have a very comprehensive report on what's going on, where we are today. So I won't go to that subject, but seawall elevation. We've been following the key well. It's been up and down. We've been bouncing around trying to figure out what's going on. I'll just report that as of right now, December 1st, which is Friday, it's 226.4. It's in good shape. It's right in the middle of the operating zone. We're 200 to 250. It goes right in the middle. So this last year was a big benefit to the basin. It reached a high in June of this last year of 233. We saw a decline because of the perk rates, which is part of the maintenance work. After that in June, and it has declined. And in November, that's when we shut things down for maintenance, and it's dropped since we shut it down in November, almost 2 feet, 1.9 feet. It was about 228.3, and it dropped almost 2 feet just this last month while it's been shut down, and this maintenance is going on. Hopefully, I agree with Tom. We expected things to happen faster, although we probably shouldn't have expected it because that's the way the Corps and the county work. I mean, they'll give you an estimate of how long it's going to take, and we coordinate, and then when they start, first thing you hear is we're behind schedule. So that's where we're at. So that's what's going on with the water supply, or with the key well. Sangamon Reservoir inflow is always interesting to see what's coming into our watershed. It's almost 70 CFS coming in. It dropped clear down to about 30, 35 for a while late in the summer. So this is good. There's not much precipitation, but we're getting a little bit of inflow. And if we ever get some rain this El Nino year, if we ever produce some water out of it, the little reservoir is up again. We're about 15,000 acre feet in storage, so we've got plenty of room for water. As far as rainfall through November, the basin's about 150% of long-term average. That's the Pudding Stone and San Gabriel Dam about the same. Water quality under Water Master's Title 22 program with the administrative assessment. During November, 71 wells were sampled, and during October, 39 wells were sampled. And we didn't receive any new notices of wells impacted the water quality. I know Chairperson Santana has asked about PFAS. There is a PFAS memo summarizing the PFAS results that we've asked for the basin-wide sampling. It's currently at EPA for them to look at. We want to make sure all the producers are good with releasing that information. As soon as we get past EPA, we'll bring it to the water district and certainly give it to the chairperson because she'd asked for this information a long time ago. So we're working on that. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Do we have any questions or comments for our engineer? No. Thank you so much, Steve.
Sure.
And just on top of that, Steve, I appreciate the effort there.
Thank you.
Okay, we are moving on to general manager's report.
So Steve was reporting on the QL. I went back and looked at the chart, and while, you know, right now I'm dealing with disappointment of not getting as much imported water in as I would have liked to this year, I want to point out the last time the QL was above 230 feet was 2012, 11 years ago. Yeah. And so the fact that we got all that rain locally is really helpful, I guess. And that's to be noted. Also, and just this is off my top of my head, in 2017, that was a wet year on the state water project. The state water project had a high allocation in 2017 and again in 2019. In 2017, I think we delivered 60,000 acre feet of imported water, but it was halted because of a quagga mussel catch here. They thought they found a viable quagga mussel in the state water project water. So we had to halt, and then we lost some opportunity there. 2019, based on my look at the records, it is a record year for the amount of imported water delivered to the basin of over 100,000 acre feet. That might have been over a couple of years, I mean, over a couple of calendar years, but it was significant. So this year, 50,000 acre feet, not as much as we like, but it's still a notable amount of water. That being said, December 1st, Department of Water Resources announced the initial state project allocation for the 10%. Which is disappointingly low, giving coming off the whole wet year. One of the things that happened, and the reason it was set at 10% is the water store in San Luis Reservoir is pretty low. And one of the reasons for that is over the period, I'm not sure when it occurred, but there was a king tide event. You know, so you've got conditions are such that there's a high tide in the ocean, it forces salt salinity, salt under Golden Gate, comes up into the Delta, and then they have to release water, keep that salinity barrier at the right place for the endangered species. Well, apparently the DDR released, you know, they didn't plan, they didn't anticipate, and they released more water than perhaps they should have. And so as a result, they weren't able to move water through the Delta into San Luis. At the same time, there were demands on the state water project to use the storage in San Luis. So San Luis ended up with the most. With a 10% allocation, MWD, and that starts January 1st, MWD will not make delivery to site that account. So USD3 will be turned off December 31st. We won't be making delivery to site. However, I've verbally made MWD operations staff aware that the basin is capable of taking cyclic deliveries in the event during the spring. There's events or changes where there's opportunities, there's not storm water, spreading. It's dry here and it's wet in Northern California. We'll certainly work with MWD to restart those imported water deliveries whenever they have it available. So that's on the water supply side. So the building is, you know, all great plans, you know, from Murphy's Law kicks in. So the elevator work is done. The elevator actually functions. All that work is done. But they cannot turn it on because we don't have the final state inspection from the Department of Industrial Relations. However, we can't schedule that inspection because you need to reconnect the fire safety system to the elevator controls, and that company is not available to come out until Monday. So once they're done with the work and we confirm that testing is all done, then we will call the state and schedule the inspection. The reason we won't call the state and schedule inspection before that is, according to the elevator company, you don't know when they'll show up. That might be 5 days. They might show up tomorrow. And if they show up tomorrow and everything isn't done, they'll walk away and they might not get them back. Anyway, that was probably TMI for the situation. We are hopeful the elevator will be available for use by the end of the year. On the EV charging station, so we reconfigured the system. We will not be going through the city's pilot program because of the equipment that they wanted us to use. The cost of that and equipment we don't need to have electric vehicle charging stations. Essentially, it was a big kiosk, vending machine, if you will, that allows people to pay for the charging with credit cards. So without including that and then going direct to the manufacturer who actually has an office here on Monrovia, it's Webasto, we can do all the chargers even without the city funding for less money than it would have cost us. So financially, it's the right way to go. And these chargers can accept payment through the phone apps. They just can't accept the payments by credit card. So we'll have 3 chargers in the public areas and 4 chargers will be in our covered parking area for use. So we will place the order. Today, we had a contractor out relocate one of the conduits for the electric vehicle chargers and pour the concrete pads to install the pedestals for the chargers. Where was I going with that? So that worked. Once I confirmed they were able to relocate the conduit, tomorrow we will sign the purchase order for the chargers. It will probably take until January for delivery. And then we have another contract with the installation of the chargers. Ed, I'm hoping by the end of Ed and Steve and me, I'm hoping by the end of January we'll be able to. Lastly, on the building is my bane, is the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system. Through many, many prompts and a lot of non-responses, we finally got a response from the manufacturer's rep that are working on scheduling them coming out on site with the subcontractor to install the equipment to fix the last two units. We've got, oh, I think five or six units that one. They fixed one. One's working. One of the three that wasn't working is working. We still have two that aren't functioning on cooling mode. So the good news is, while we haven't gotten the date scheduled, when I ask them, when I prompt them, are we getting this done? I actually get an email response, and that's a big improvement over that response. So that we'll get this done, and I'll be happy to get this out of our air. The last things are just some date announcements. You should have received the invite on December 21st. At the Derby, we will have our board staff holiday dinner, 5 o'clock, Thursday. It's a Thursday. It's a little close to holidays. If you're a Friday before Christmas, it's not the best time. On January 10th will be our first big board meeting of the calendar year. We will prepare a board calendar. I'm just giving Vanessa the assignment right now, a board calendar for meetings for the year. And to remind the board, the first meeting of the year will be the election of the board officers. That's all I have.
Okay, do you have any questions?
Yes, Mr. Love.
Oh, that's in closed session.
I'm sorry. So, any update on the percolation through the watershed? How's that going with the counties?
Yeah, okay, I kind of glossed over that. I mentioned it earlier when we talked about the 10,000 feet. The 10,000 acre feet. So we're continuing to meet with the county. Seton's doing a lot of work on identifying things that might be done to improve, or number one, understand what phenomenon going on where the percolation rate has dropped. As Steve mentioned, I mean, when the basins are, they're not virgin basins, but when they haven't been used for a long time, the percolation rate is well over 400 cubic feet per second of the river system of Santa Fe. I think Santa Fe spreading grounds alone are 300 CFS. And we got down to, before the county started this maintenance, we were barely getting 200 in the ground. And that Santa Fe spreading grounds, that's the Corps of Engineers holding some water back behind Santa Fe Dam, and the percolation can get along the river. And so the county, like I said, on October 31st, we reduced flows from USD 3 to 25 CFS to allow the Santa Fe spreading ground and the basin behind Santa Fe Dam to dry out, to allow the county to maintain, clean out, do whatever they need to do with the Santa Fe spreading grounds, and for the Corps of Engineers to do some undefined maintenance work. The county has started, there's a desilting basin. The first place the water goes before it goes in the Santa Fe spreading grounds is a big basin, where it's intended to drop any sediment out, let it settle out so we don't plug up the spreading grounds. When they got in there, they found that sediment in some places was broken. But that's not all from this year. That's a number of years of accumulation. So it's going to take them a while to get that sediment out. They're still trying to figure out the method they're going to use to scrape that algae. Remember the algae? Now it's all dried out and matted in the bottom. They'd hire a bunch of guys to break. But they're trying to figure out the best method to get in there. One thing they don't like to do is they don't like to get a lot of heavy equipment in the bottom of the spreading ground because the pack compacts the soil. But what they typically do, they'll figure out how to get rid of the algae. They'll come in and they'll disc or scarify the ground so it kind of breaks up that surface. And hopefully we'll recover that percolation rate. And letting the basins dry out and rest, and the water underneath the ground is completely settled down in the water table. Should help. We never took a breakage. In previous years, sometimes the county says, let's let them rest. And then you start recharging a month later, and we did not do that this year if you really want to keep the water flowing. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I'm thinking of what my neighbor did to keep the water in on their lawns. He bought some shoes that have big spikes on them.
Oh.
He walked the ground for pretty much puncturing holes in the ground so the water could stay in there.
I've, note on that. I bought those, and my sons don't weigh as much as I do. 200 pounds plus is bad.
Oh,
depending on how hard you're grounded. Yeah, but that's sometimes like they take a deep break. It's, when they rip the soil, these deep tines kind of break it up. They don't want to go too deep. They don't want to stir up too deep. But,
okay. Thank you.
For Tom, I just wanted to know, so what did they had evidence of quack mussels? Like, what are they finding? Just shells? Like, how do we know that they're there?
So there's a Bellatrix, a larval.
I asked them.
They found a, I think it was live, okay. Bellatrix. But, and then they did testing. It was October of 2017. I remember reading the report. So they tested the water and there was a live Bellatrix. Then they tested again. And then they tested again, and there was subsequent tests, if I recall, they didn't find anything at all. Now, what we found out after the fact is it probably wasn't Union State Project Supplies. MWD had changed the hydraulic braid of their pipe, and there's a valve between the Colorado River Supply and the State Project, and the higher pressure pushed Colorado River water through USP3. So it was probably a Bellinger from the Colorado River that got in accidentally. And MS changed their operational procedures so that better not happen. That was the situation. Now, there has been villagers found in Castaic Lake, which State Project supplied. I know Lake Piru has an established colony, and that has more to do with local geology, the high calcium of the geology there that gets in the water. Quaggas don't do well under 20 milligrams per liter calcium. But what we learned is our geology does add calcium to the water. So if you take a measurement out of Morris Dam, calcium is going to be around 25, 30 milligrams per liter. And I can tell you a lot more about
calcium. No, the biology nerd in me is like, I won't.
But just let the board know. So we do have a quagga mussel control plan. It's been reviewed by the county. It's been reviewed by Fish and Wildlife. We do not have an approval or anything. We've asked. We don't have anything in writing. But we have agreed that we do not want that quagga mussel control plan to go stale or gather dust. So in the spring of every year, we will update the plan. And so, for instance, we already know one update because we did a monsoonal summer storm analysis that Stetson did based on historic HIPAA, Hurricane Hillary. Set a new record for 2-day precipitation in the San Gabriel Valley, but they've redone that now, so we'll incorporate that, update the plan, and keep it up.
Regarding the water delivery and the 10% allocation here, I know we had talked previously that what we couldn't deliver this year could be pushed next year, and we should still get that. We still have that cushion, right?
Well, we do in a couple of different ways. So while MWD will not deliver site water into Cypress storage account, they'll move it into their other storage account. Cypress is kind of halfway down the list of their priorities. But if we even have a normal year, then their expectation is the allocation will go up, increase. Given the last couple of years where DWR has set what they consider a very conservative unit plow allocation, and they find out we had the weather, the driest January, February, March on record for the allocation. I think in 2022, the initial allocation was maybe 10%. Maybe it was 5%, and then it went all the way up to 15%, and then they dropped it down to 5%. So DWR is being ultra conservative in that initial allocation. So they do not want to run into a situation where they start the year with an allocation over. So normal year, even if it's not a wet year in Northern California, we would expect that allocation to go up, 20-25% being higher. The typical trigger point for MWD, and it's more of a rule of thumb than an absolute rule, is when the state project allocation is at 30% or higher, then they start to move these cycles. But we don't have to count necessarily on a cyclic delivery. In the fall, Water Master will collect their assessments, RBA and otherwise, and we'll have funds, and then we will order a firm service delivery from Metropolitan they need to make. They didn't do that last year because of the severe drought, but even even though they had water in storage, they could have made it from storage. So Matt will need to make that delivery. If it was a firm service delivery, we'll start that. The reason we started it October 1st and not earlier is because the Met capacity charge, which for that volume, that flow rate is very high, is not in effect after October 1st.
Okay.
So the point is the firm service delivery will be made and Met will be put on notice early in the year that we will at least be asking for that firm service delivery. So the Met will know that they will be.
Okay. Great. We have now a Metropolitan Report.
Speaking of Quagga Metro, 7 years ago, Grace Napolitano asked me to send to a public hearing in Washington for committee. And so I brought a whole vial and I threw them in a vial when I got. Do they grow?
Yeah. What, where did you throw them?
No, they won't go over your garage. If you threw them in the stomach, that would have been a problem.
Okay, pretty good.
How long are you grabbing dollars
off? Welcome to the Monrovia Community Center, where I'm not enough to just I spend my time in this room as part of the Mayor's Coordinating Council and President of MAMPA. And I hear a lot. This is my third time giving this report today, so I actually know it by heart. So let's talk about the Metropolitan Board meetings on November 28th and December 6th. And just very briefly, the November 28th meeting dealt with the Pure Water Project and how we're going to finance that. We had various scenarios, and some new scenarios came in from board members. So we'll probably be discussing this in January, February, March, how we're going to pay for this, which is now phase one is now coming in at a cost of $8.11 billion, which is a lot of money. And so we're looking at ways that we can finance it. The past 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, board, many members of the board, including myself, met at Gene Camp. It was really the first time Metropolitan had a general meeting there. We had to keep a quorum at the union station. But I flew down on the Met plane, which is last time I flew, I did two rotaries. This one you do one. And I get there and Dell says, why don't you take the new jet? I said, what's awesome. But it was fun. It was very interesting. I'm glad I went. The purpose of this meeting was to basically threefold. First, to be heard from the Colorado River Indian Tribal Council. Second, have a discussion regarding the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation's development of post-2026 Colorado River Reservoir Operations and Guidelines and Strategies for Lake Powell and Lake Mead. And third, an update on district housing and property improvements at Gene Camp. First, talk about the Colorado River. We had a guest speaker. There was a meeting of the Colorado River Indian Tribal Council that morning. And then Linda Flores, the chairwoman of the Tribal Council, was part of that meeting and addressed the board of directors, telling us that the Indian tribes, the Colorado River is the Indian tribe. But she told us that the Colorado River is very sick. And it's come to the point where the tribes must have to be involved in anything to keep this river flowing. And as you know, the Indians did not have a seat 26 years ago when the quantification agreement was being done, but they do have a seat now. And they'll be in Las Vegas with the Colorado River Association and continue talks with Met and other entities trying to resolve the quantification agreement. We did learn that the Metropolitan Water District really has done a great job in trying to shore up the Colorado River and has diverted, I think, almost 600,000 acre feet of this allocation. Of this allocation, 600,000 acre feet was put into Lake Mead because we feel that it's very important to make that very healthy, it's the heart of the American water system. And we went through a lot of talks about the history of laws and guidelines governing the Colorado River as a legal challenge with the mount. And Dale gave us a talk about the goals and challenges before us. And And I asked him what the biggest challenge was right now. And he says the other states basically are not saving enough water. Really, we see some very drastic conservation measures dealing with the Colorado River and the emphasis is to get some of our neighboring states to conserve even more. Our main goal with the Colorado is to protect Lake Mead, and we talked about state health and safety concerns, new transfers, and storage programs that the metropolitan does need, and improve relations with the Indian tribes. There are about 30 tribes involving 2.8 million acres of unsettled water rights, and then there's going to be also engagement by non-government organizations such as the American Rivers, the Nature Conservancy, the Environmental Defense Fund, during this meeting takes place to keep up water. Finally, MET is improving its housing and sense of community at Gene Camp and Iron Mountain. We were there to visit a number of new homes that were being built. And I brought the idea they should have like a cul-de-sac of nice homes. Who wants to be dirt all day if you're living there? And they weren't interested in that. So the residents aren't interested. They want their shooting range.
They want their
guns. They want their guns. MET said no guns, right? But it's very good. It's a good session, and it's a good way to bond with other members of the board. Thank you.
On February 28th, that's a regular board meeting, second meeting in February. Bill Hazenkamp, the Colorado River Manager for NWD, we had our board meeting, and we'll give us a full rundown on the situation on the Colorado River negotiations.
Just on the note, I was on that call as well with the Metropolitan Water District, and it was good to get insight of our workers at MET of what's going on, because they live in an isolated area, and it's not like they go to the office here in downtown every day, so their input of what really happens out there and the extreme weather conditions out there, it's very insightful. So I want to thank Dr. Fellows for participating in that and listening to the concern.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. They're trying to get people out there to work, but you know, some of the new homes are very nice, but it's 1960 style, three bedrooms, one bathroom, four or five children. It still needs a lot of improvement, but it's better.
So if I may add, what one person my travels up there, one person that lives out there who has a family, and you know, you go through milk a lot, and they actually buy a couple of gallons of milk at a time and freeze it because there's no stores out there to go get butter, milk, and you know, those quick necessities to feed a family. So they freeze the milk until it's ready to drink it.
Moving on to water quality monitoring report.
Yes, some of the discussion at the last meeting was a COLA. So the COLA, the cost of living adjustment, allows employees, and I would have to remind management about this. So it's to allow employees to still have the same buying power as they had when they first started getting employed, employment. So it's not a pay rate. The cost of living is, if you were able to buy, say, two bags of groceries when you started working, you should be able to buy two bags of groceries, you know, 5 years later. So that adjustment needs to always take place. So the WQA uses April as the economic indicator of how much that COLA should be. So there was a discussion about not making it automatic to Area 1, and the discussion was laid with the board of directors there, or the board members. So so we changed some of the language to help identify who employees are. Are they part-time employees or full-time employees get? Do people on probation receive a COLA? Do interns get a COLA? Do employees that are on maybe disciplinary actions? So our attorney is working on some of those, that language to define what, you know, who gets a COLA and the definition of an employee. So that's something that, that we're working on, and not just automatically giving a COLA just because they receive a check from the agency. So that's what we've been working on.
And so a point, I think that some, we did something a few years ago where we created the executive employee manual. Mm-hmm. And so the board does have the discretion. You can give a certain COLA to the employees, and you can do a different COLA to the executive manager. Mm-hmm. The other thing, we do have a part-time employee, and so that's something we need to look at, is how do we incorporate that into the employee groups similarly. Yeah. That typically, we do that typically as we're starting to talk about it.
Yeah. Do we have any questions? It must be a decent amount, the COLA.
Well, the COLA last year was actually bigger. It was about 8%, and I think this year we did 5%. So we're going back to normal times, but because of the inflation rate, it did spike up. It is what it is.
Well, but, you know, economically, that's good, that it's adjusting
to a more normal.
Next, we have our Water Master report.
Water, you just got over it. Long I think they're out of close there. But this is really two important things that commendation was given to David D. Smith, who's leading Water Masters because of his retirement in the irrigating district. And I told this, and he's really one of my best friends, right? He's just doing it next. We had to be approved 26 water purchases. Anything else?
Actually, cycling renewal. One water.
Yeah. Each one individually. Right. Today, this meeting is going to be January 3rd. Okay. Do you have any questions or comments?
About the meeting, so I think there was a committee meeting coming up later on this month. Can you make that announcement? I don't know the date.
December 20th at 1:30, it'll be a combined meeting of the Water Master admin and finance.
We're expecting to be there in that much field.
That's what I've told. Yeah. Water for you.
Next, item 15, AD1234 compliance report. Moving on to Director's comments. Director Trevino.
I have no comments, Madam Chair.
I didn't think I was able to announce this, but on Saturday, I'm going to hit the 60 years old, believe it or not.
I was going to volunteer you. He's great at gardening.
I had it written down.
Oh, did you?
I was guessing 60, but I wasn't sure. Yeah. First time I had to miss my plans. Yeah.
Cool. Director, I'm just always excited to see all the educational grants and really excited that we put that for the time. Well, I forgot to mention that if you didn't know this already, that Gladstone High School closed. So all of those former students went to the high school. So they live in our cemetery. So I'm happy that that got approved.
Speaking of education, on Monday in this room, the Monrovia, some of the school board members were talking to us about that. And I wrote it to Katerina, which is very interesting. She's the vice principal. But I'm very interested in getting involved, having met NWD, get involved at Monrovia High School, in which most of the students now go to school, or a great number of them go to school 4 days a week. And the fifth day, they do internships. And I'm thinking, I'd like to see, I wanted her Google first, because she's a principal, to have up, have some come up for district on Friday to help Patty, or somewhere, some of these kids want to be engineers. And so, something we should get involved in. The other thing tonight, I would like us to adjourn in memory of Leonard Tibbs, who's a longtime partner of the former chair of the Metropolitan Water District, Roy Gray, who died in very sad about this, and it's probably be a tribute to him later on. He was an entrepreneur, owned a number of businesses in Los Angeles, and I knew him well, very good man. We can adjourn in his honor tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I guess I'm just wishing everybody happy holidays. And the next board meeting, I will have lots from week.
Yeah.
So we'll see you all then. Next on the agenda is future agenda items. Maybe none. We do have a closed session today, so I believe we are going to be in this room.
Yeah. And Patty Stay and Anya.
Do you like me to report out, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Sure. The board met in closed session pursuant to government code section 549.56.9, one item of potential litigation. A report was given to the board by special counsel and instruction was given to special counsel. That concludes my closed session report.
We will move on to adjournment. We are adjourned.